John chapter 15, verse 9 through 11. But stick your finger there. I'm going to say some stuff before I get there, okay? Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful music this morning, inspirational, uplifting. Lord, we need those kind of things to come into our lives to remind us of who you are. You're the great and mighty God. Nothing is beyond your touch and your reach. And help us, Father, to resolve in our hearts that we will go where you would ask us to go. And we won't argue about it. We're just going to be thankful that you even called on us. So, Lord, bless us in a real way this morning. I know, Lord, there are needs here today. There are hurts, there are problems, there are difficulties, financial, family, all these things. But, Lord, you're still God, and we pray, Father, you would intercede on those matters in which we have on our hearts this morning as well. So bless that. Be with us now as we look at your word briefly. You work in this service, Lord, if there are those that need to make an open public profession of faith, a rededication of life, whatever it might be, Lord, you just speak to their hearts today that we might give you the glory. Praise your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1963, it was a number one song on the Billboard charts in R&B, and it was titled, If You Want to Be Happy. And it went something like this. You might recognize it. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. I'm thinking to myself, that guy probably could have got strung out by multiple groups there. Yeah. Well, Blaise Pascal, who was a French mathematician, who was a genius, and you know him, from something he said in a different vein. He said, every man has a God-shaped vacuum in their heart that only God can fill. But he goes on to say, he said, all men seek happiness. There is without exception. What difference means the employment of it? They all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and the cause of others avoiding it is the same desire for both. This is the motivation of every action that man takes. All men seek happiness. I think to myself, that's basically true. And years ago, there was a little booklet I have in my office. It said, A Quest for Joy. And I understand that many, many people reject God and wallow in sin's degradation because they fear that they will lose, if they come to the Lord, they will lose those things that bring them happiness. And I think the world has done a really good job of defining the Christian life as something that is boring. It's dull. It's lackluster. It is not exciting. Matter of fact, it's sad. We're sad sacks. Well, to many then, self-denial is a renunciation of all the things in life that give them any kind of joy or happiness whatsoever. You just can't do those things and be a Christian. They never once consider that renouncing those lesser joys, that they can embrace greater joys in the Lord. So I want you to read with me chapter 15 in John. Jesus is speaking and starting in verse 9. You might want to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to ask you to read in verse 9 through 11 with me. Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And here's the thing. And that your joy might be what? Full. We all want happiness. We all want happiness. We all want real joy in our life. Jesus, I think, and his teachings, if you go back and did kind of a Bible study with that thought in mind, if that was your major premise, you would find out that his teachings and what Jesus was teaching about, he was talking about how to have real joy in your life, how God can flood your heart with joy. And that's what God wants for his people. Isn't that amazing? Just the exact opposite of what the world says. The world says if you embrace Christ, oh my goodness, you're... No, it's just the exact opposite. We're giving up lesser things and we're going to get greater things. Jesus goes on to say, he said, and let me read that again. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be or remain in you. And what was it again? And that your joy might be full. Now, is that in the Bible? Did I read that out of the Bible? Sure is, isn't it? Joy is what God Almighty fills us with when we trust the Lord as our Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul speaks of this over in Romans 15, verse 13. And of course, we as Bible students, when we think about the book of Romans, we begin to think about the gravity and the magnitude of the great theme of Romans, justification by faith. And we should. It is certainly there. Chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to what? To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Justification by faith. In this great book of the justification by faith, we're going to find something else that's in there that's essential to understanding what that faith does for us and should. You know, many scholars consider the book of Romans to be the greatest letter in the New Testament. It is the magnum opus of Paul's theological understanding of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and resurrection, and surely it is. And of course, you recognize that Martin Luther, who was a Augustinian monk, he was a teacher. He had a PhD in theology. He didn't know anything about theology, but he had a PhD in it. Maybe that's too harsh. He was an Augustinian monk. And he began to study the book of Romans. Let me just tell you something, friends. When you're talking to whoever it might be who doesn't know Christ or anything of those kind of things, if you can encourage them to read the Bible, I don't care what else you ever say to them, You give them your testimony, all that. That's wonderful. But encourage them to read the Bible. It doesn't matter where they go. Sometimes, I was always taught to tell them to go to John because John explains what he's talking about. Okay, that's fine. Get them to read the Bible because, you see, it was Martin Luther's investigation to teach the book of Romans that brought him to faith in Christ. You say, wait a second, I thought he was an Augustinian monk. I thought he was all this kind of thing. Yes, he was. But he had all those rituals in his life. He had all those liturgical teachings in his life. But he was not free from sin. And when he read that book, and you don't have to go very far in Romans. He found that passage in the first chapter, the 17th verse. The just shall live by faith. He thought, well, I've been doing this. And I've been doing that, and I've been trying to do this, and I'm not satisfied. And so it was almost like somebody turned a light on in his brain. Oh, wait a second. The just shall live by faith. Oh, is that something that Paul just made up? He's quoting Habakkuk, isn't he? The just shall live by faith. It's a biblical concept that starts in the Old Testament, goes all the way through. It never stops. The just shall live by faith. And so right in the middle of this great, powerful justification by faith letter, there is something else there that's so essential for us to see as Christians that would help us understand who we are and what we're about and will bless our lives. It's joy. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm going to read you a verse then. Over in Romans 15, we're starting to get to the end of the book. Paul is always laying layer after layer. He says, now the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing, that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the God of all hope cleanse you from all sin. No, he's already talked about that in Romans 3 and 6 and 5. And fill you with all joy You see, if God just cleans us up. My grandmother used to have this wash tub. Is it wash or wash? Wash tub? That don't sound right. My grandma never washed anything in her life. She always wore stuff. She had this wash tub, and it had this little thing in there. I don't know what that is. It's kind of a little thing that's got ripples on it. And you take your clothes and you go, washboard. Thank you, man. Washboard. Got that board in there anyway. And she would like that. And she had this soap. And she would tell me certain things, like, don't put this in your mouth. You know, be careful of the water that's left in the tub. Because that was lye soap. And, you know, she didn't have to put any kind of my wife buys some kind of shout in the can or something like that. She didn't want the shout in the jar that you go, ch-ch-ch. She wants it in the can. I don't know why. It's supposed to be the same stuff. My grandma didn't have shout. She had lye soap. And she had elbow grease. And she washed those clothing in there. And then she would hang them on the line. What Jesus has done for us, he's forgiven our sins. They're forgiven. But not unlike clothes, when we walk through this world, we get dirty again. And we need to be cleansed daily, actually. John says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a one-time experience with the Lord. The penalty of sin has been forgiven. But we're still in this world and we need to be freed from the power of the sin every day. Because it's all around us. And so Paul is saying, listen, in Christ Jesus, on the cross, on the resurrection, God has done this, man, fantastic thing. He has made salvation available to you, to everyone. And all you need to do is embrace it and you'll get it. But you need to be cleaned every day. And you need, when my grandma would take those clothes out of that wash tub and put them on the line. Sometimes she would say, you can go over there and smell that if you want to. And you know what? It smelled good. I think I associated lye soap with cleanliness. That's how clean smells, you know. Well, listen. Now the God of all hope is going to forgive your sins. He's going to put you in the forever family of God. He's going to wash you up. And he's going to do something else in your heart. If you'll let him, he'll give you joy. What good is salvation if I'm in worse mental, physical, and spiritual shape after Christ than before? If I believe the lie of the devil that Jesus and the forgiveness I experience doesn't do anything but some kind of thing way out there in heaven, way over there, what good is that? You're going to have joy right now. The practical outcome of salvation, of being saved, being born again, is joy, 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 joy. When you leave this place this morning, I want you to think, what did the preacher talk about? Joy, joy, joy. You got to have it. If you don't have it, you're missing all the things that God can and will do in your life as we walk with him through this veil of tears. Listen, the kingdom of God is characterized by joy. And he said, oh, I don't know. You got one verse in Romans. Oh, I got you another one. Chapter 14, verse 7. It says, listen to what the Bible says. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, rightly relatedness unto God, peace, that's good to have peace. What's the next word? And joy in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. Paul exhorts us over in Galatians 5:2. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and long-suffering. I skipped one. The fruit of the Spirit is love and what? joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. It's right in there. It's number two. Number two, joy. I don't know about you this morning, but if I can somehow encourage you, before you leave this day, thank the Lord for who He is and what He's done in your life, and ask Him, Lord, I just need a little joy today. I came all beat up. All this holiday thing was horrendous. Spent more money than I ever even thought I had. The kids don't even care. They open the $2,000 present and throw it over there and play with the box. And then we celebrate this nonsense of the new year. And we need some joy. We need the joy of the Lord. Paul says over 2 Corinthians, not that we would have dominion over you. What does that mean? He means, I didn't come, and I'm not doing this, to lord it over you. Okay, I'm the Apostle Paul, and I know what my commission is, and the Lord knows kind of things. But I didn't come to say, I'm the Apostle Paul. Dennis, aren't you glad I'm here today? No, there's no lording over the people. Matter of fact, that's what Paul says. But he says, but we are helpers of your joy for the faith that you may stand. Paul is saying, isn't that interesting? He's saying that as fellow believers, part of our work, part of our servanthood, part of the commission that God has given us is for us to somehow be iron sharpening iron, that joy be transferred from here to there, from you to me, from me to you. Joy, joy, joy. I have a suspicion that we never think that as believers, when we come together to worship the Lord God Almighty in glory, that one of the very important things that's an element of worship is to help each other have some joy. That's why we should shake each other's hand and smile and admonish each other. Maybe that's just a little something we could do. Just a spark, just an instant there that the other believer needs. That's what we're supposed to be doing, some of that. We ought to walk out of here this morning praising God that I stopped right now. But I'm not, so you're going to have to find joy. We miss something of great importance when we are just, well, got to be... to be reverent. These services that have the jump and jive music and the people running all over the place and jumping on a pole, that's ridiculous. I don't know what it is, but we better get some joy. Or we've missed it. When we find God, we find joy. And this will enable us to forsake the lesser things and embrace the greater things of joy. I never forget this because I heard this guy. He was the president of Georgetown University or something here in Kentucky. It's some kind of Christian school. Is it Georgetown University or just Georgetown something? I don't know. Anyway, it's just down the road from Louisville. Our preacher's daughter went there, and so somehow or another had him come preach or something like that. And he was talking, he was preaching away, and he said, you know what one of some of our biggest problems down at the university is? And everybody's just, I don't know, probably this, probably that. People's running things. He said, well, one of our biggest problems is you. I don't go there. He says, it's you. You're the parents of these people. You send us sons and daughters. And when they get to our university, they tend to try to do what you've trained them to do. And then when we do the things that you've trained them to do, someone else's parent calls up and says, I cannot believe that you had a dance on campus the other day. Don't you know that Baptists don't dance? I thought, wow, And of course, he said, yes, ma'am, I realize that. And we'll stop all that just as soon as you stop sending us dancers. You know, it's like me. Did I tell you that the doctor told me that if I lose 1 pound, okay. That's, and so some of the things, she suggested chocolates, do away with that. Things like that. Well, I got a cheesecake the other day. Very good cheesecake. Like that cheesecake. I didn't eat it all, Joy. There was a couple of others that ate a couple slices. Apple pie we had. My wife did that, brought that. Apple pie a la mode, matter of fact. Put some ice cream on top of that. That was pretty good. Brownies. I tried to make the brownies. I don't know what's wrong with me and the brownies. I can't get them. They always turn out to be like cake. That's not a brownie. That's just chocolate cake. But anyway, but I still eat it. Chocolate chip cookies. We had some of those and all those kind of things. I like all those kind of things. But you know what my favorite cake is, do you not? German chocolate cake. And every year, except this year, my wife would make a German chocolate cake for me for Christmas. And I was kind of thinking, yeah, okay, all right. Christmas came and Christmas went. And there wasn't even a sniff of German chocolate cake. And I thought, well, she's got a lot on her mind. She's been working very hard. So I can't say anything like, where's my cake? You know, like that. But then, of course, she had to go back yesterday or Friday. And so, Grayson's birthday is the 11th or 12th or something. I don't know when it is. It's coming up. And so she decided we need to have a little party while I'm here for his birthday. I'm thinking, oh, I don't care. You know, he don't care. He wants to go to some kind of shoot a dart in your head place. I don't know, something like that. But she said, Grayson, can I fix your favorite cake? And he said, yes, Nan, I love German chocolate cake. And she immediately started making that cake that day. And I thought to myself, wait a second. I'm the guy who likes German chocolate cake. This little runt, he's a Johnny come lately. How's he getting my chocolate cake, my German chocolate cake? But then I thought, it doesn't matter because I'm going to eat some of it. Well, listen, German chocolate, that's my favorite. And I can push that cheesecake aside. I can put those chocolate chips aside. I can certainly put those old cakey brownies aside. And not even think about it if I get to dig into the German chocolate cake. Listen, if you have Jesus in your life and you're pursuing the things of God, all that other stuff is going to be pushed to the side. But you've got to pursue it. You've got to love it. And you will acquire discipline for doing those things. Becoming a Christian is becoming a joyful person that makes us willing. We want to do the things of God because we know the things of God are better than the world's things. The world says, no. But they are. Jesus said what? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field that when a man hath found it, he hides it again. And for what? Joy, therefore he goes and sells all he has and buyeth that field. He found something in that field so precious and so great to him that he was willing to put everything else aside and go get it. We got to put some stuff aside. You're not missing anything. You're going to get more than you ever thought. God gives us joy. It's for our good. And we can pass it to others, and it gives God the glory. Looking for joy, most people are looking for joy, and there used to be an old country song, in all the wrong places. We're doing that. But listen to what the psalmist says. The psalms has some wisdom in it, you know. Over in Psalms 19, it says in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord all right. Sometimes that's where we stop. But that's not the end of the verse. It says, rejoicing the heart. The stuff of God's good, and it makes our heart rejoice. Looking for joy in a bar doesn't help you any. All that does is give you a hangover, makes you puke the next day and all that stuff. Looking for joy in illicit sex does not be, it's not, it, for a moment or for a second, okay, but it's over with. Looking for joy in an expensive house or a car, all this stuff is just fleeting. The house starts to crumble. The car breaks down. But joy will overtake all our souls. That's what the psalmist says. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Many are looking for joy in the bottle and the needle and all these things and marijuana and the smokes, but joy is not there. It's never been there. All that's there is heartache and destruction. Listen. Why don't we tell the world about this joy? If we did, we've got a lot of work to do because there's another picture out there. But the world, I think, would really be impressed if we told them the truth and we showed them the truth that there's joy in our lives. Psalm says, then will I go to the altar of God, unto God my is my exceeding great joy. Isn't that amazing? Psalm 16 says, thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence of the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. These things don't change. They don't go away. They don't make you sick in the morning. Shouldn't we be telling folks about it? Shouldn't we be a joyful people? When we come in this building, we ought to be smiling and shaking hands and hugging each other, and because we have joy in the Lord. It's absolutely remarkable. God calls all his people to come and enjoy the gift in salvation he gives of joy. Psalm 67:4 says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Everybody. It's available to everybody. These poor folks over in the Middle East are killing each other and chopping each other's hands off and doing all this terrible, nasty stuff. They don't know what joy is. Psalm 66 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Everybody. Everybody is invited. What did the angels say to the shepherds when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? You remember that? We just saw that not too long ago. He said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy. The whole thing's about a right relationship to God that the Holy Spirit then will use to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. Wow. Well, let me see. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Some of us have made that mistake. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. Well, there is some logic to that. But like I said, you better not go humming that too much. I think you'll prosper by saying if you want to have joy for the rest of your life, embrace the Lord, pursue the Lord, have your hands open that he can bless your life. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and joy, joy, joy. It's infinite forever at his side. It never stops, never dries up. Well, I can't give you any more, Bert. You've had too much this week. That's not it. It never does you any harm. It lifts us up. With a smile on our face. In the midst of all that we're struggling with, our walk is lighter. Our mindset and our hearts are focused in a different direction. And it blesses us. Hopefully each other. And it gives the glory to God. Father, thank you for who you are. We've just heard a lot about this brand new year, 2020, new decade. Every day with you is new. Every day, every minute, every second is an opportunity for us to appropriate your blessings in our life. The joy that you have set before us. Help us to seek it. Run hard after it. Not be satisfied until you've poured out that joy in our hearts. So we can give it away. We're not going to be a cup that just fills it up like the Dead Sea, but giving it away. And Lord, we know that part of our task is to be the bearers of this good news to the whole world. Help us to do that. Be part of that. Bring joy that others might see. We have a joy in the Lord. They don't have anything, they don't know anything about, and they can have it. It's free in Jesus. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.